Hello and welcome to The Cynic. I'm Chris Gallagher. With the 2022-23 season complete, The Cynic Weekly will be on hiatus for a few weeks, but it will be back in late July, looking ahead to the new season. Between now and then, we will be releasing content from our subscription service in its place to give you a taste of what we're doing. You can sign up at thecynic.co for Celtic content all through the summer, covering all breaking news, transfers, features, and everything in between. It's all you need as a Celtic fan. Today, we present to you our one-on-one with Jonathan Burns, covering the Celtic manager position, Brendan Rodgers, and what success looks like at Celtic. Please enjoy. Joining me now is lead coach of the Charlotte Independence Pro Academy and executive director, North American Scottish Coaches Association. It's our good friend, Jonathan Burns. Hello, Jonathan. How are you?
Hi, Chris. Thanks for having me, mate.
Lovely stuff. The last time we spoke to you was around about December time. How are things in Charlotte, North Carolina?
Good, mate. Yeah, good. We're obviously approaching the kind of end of the season now, so the boys have done really well and they've managed to kind of qualify for, sounds very American, but dare I say it, national playoffs. So we start that in a couple of weeks. And from there, it's basically a kind of losing your out type scenario. So looking forward to it, should be good. And can't really complain, mate. It's going really well.
Great stuff. That sort of structure where it kind of is a little bit more different to over here, is there a lot, do you see benefits from that of, like, you know, going to playoffs and stuff? Because there's been a lot of chat over the last couple of weeks about how exciting the playoffs and the championship and stuff have been with, like, Ross County and Thistle. Is that something you think we should kind of, you know, lean into a little bit more?
Yeah, I think certainly when you kind of look at youth football, particularly in Scotland, I think it's not until kind of under 17 that you actually start to play for something, which, I get it. You know, there's a huge emphasis, as there rightly should be, on development. But I think it does no harm for players. I think players like to kind of play for something and be involved in competition. So I think if there is a way to kind of build that into the kind of setup, then it's always worth it. My nephew, Cole, he actually has a cup final coming up with his boys' club on Sunday, and it's all the kind of family have spoken about for about a month, you know, and all that kind of stuff. So I think there's benefits to it. I think players love it, and you know, if it's something that can be done, then, you know, it's not to the kind of detriment of the development of the players, then do it 100%.
Yeah, funnily enough, see on that having something to play for, I was reading about, obviously Scotland are playing the kind of Norway in the qualifiers, but there's some Nations League stuff happening in the international stage, and I think, was it Ruud Gullit came out and was like, these are just glorified friendlies, we can't be bothered with this sort of thing. And then Someone else was making the point, it's like, you kind of moaned about the fact that it was friendlies, then we create this tournament with something to win. It's like, you know, I'm not wanting to stand up for FIFA or UEFA or anything, but it's like, they can't really win, can they?
Oh, no, 100%. I think the only problem with the Nations League is, I think you need to be Carol Vorderman to work out what the actual scenario is and what you win and how it works, because it's, I remember we got promoted Scotland, wasn't it, last year, from like Group B to Group A, and
yeah,
as a country, we're kind of like, yes, but I don't think they actually
know what it means.
What's going on? Yeah. Aye, so, but I totally agree with you, mate. You're never ever going to win if you're in one of those jobs where you're deciding, you know, how do we do this and you know, stop players pulling out of national setups and, you know, give it a little bit of, you know, give it a little bit of competition. And as I say, some people are just never going to be happy. So that's the way it is.
Talking about people who are never going to be happy, Celtic. Let's have a kind of look back at this kind of season. Just in general, like, what's, you know, such a successful season, winning the treble, taking part in the Champions League. What's your kind of thoughts on last season? How are you feeling as a Celtic fan just now?
Yeah, I mean, last season was obviously amazing. We're kind of all so lucky, aren't we, to just be living in this time of kind of dominance and Celtic just winning pretty much everything there is to win. I don't know if that was the fifth treble in 7 years or something like that, somebody said, but unbelievable, and we're all kind of so lucky. And the downside of that is as well, is we all kind of, you know, we all kind of start taking that a little bit for granted at times, and then now we're all a little bit devastated because a really, really good manager has left us. And you know, we kind of come down to the manager search, which is always going to be divisive. I think that no matter who you throw out there, there's going to be groups of Celtic fans that will say 100% he's the guy, and there's going to be groups that say,
nope,
you know, he's an umpty, you know. So yeah. I think that, you know, I think that as a fan, you know, I'm just kind of really enjoying the fact that we're in such a successful period of our history. And really, you know, really hopeful that going forward we make an appointment of somebody that will come in and be able to keep the kind of train rolling. I think that it's a difficult time to come in. You know, you're coming off the back of winning a treble, you know, a manager that if he said the sky was purple, you know, we all pretty much would have went, yep, it is, you're right, Ange. So I think that whoever comes in has got a job on his hands to make sure that we're moving in the right direction still, you know.
Yeah, you know, we can talk about the manager search in a little bit more detail, but just on the words of, you know, Ange Postecoglou, how do you feel? Obviously, you are in the business. You are, you know, a coach, and you know how football works, and you've been in it, you know, for such a long time, and you know the mechanisms. We are obviously just fans, and we kind of, specifically Celtic support, kind of run on passion and, you know, that love for the club in a way that I'm not sure every club does, but we've got that high energy, high passion for the club. And Postecoglou leaving, was that a little bit unexpected for everyone? How did you see it, and do you think it was the right time? Do you think it was the right decision? What's your thoughts?
So what I would say is like the kind of the first and foremost thing would be, I don't think there is ever going to be a right time.
Yeah.
Right? I think that particularly at Celtic, where it's fanatical, right? There's no many clubs like Celtic in terms of the support and what it means to people, and so it's a different world for kind of most football clubs. So I don't think there would ever be a right time. I don't think that you could really argue that the job he's going to is probably the biggest Premier League job that any Celtic manager has ever left the club to go and take.
Yeah.
I know people say, well, they've not won anything. I get that, but if you look at their infrastructure, between the stadium, between the training ground, you know, the transfer budget that they're likely to have, the superstars that you're able to go and work with, I think it's a very, very difficult job for anybody that's working in Scotland to turn down. And I don't think that you would get offered a job like that twice. Yeah. So I think in terms of that, I don't really blame them. I think that we could all kind of see it coming. As much as you look on Twitter and it's, you know, my friend Bert works in, you know, this pub and bumped into Postecoglou's, why not, that kind of stuff. But
yeah.
I think ultimately what you kind of notice in football is that if a rumour persists and it keeps kind of sticking around, there's normally legs to it.
Yeah.
And the Tottenham thing just wasn't going away. So because it wasn't going away, I always just kind of felt that, aye, there's something to this here. So, I mean, listen, good luck to him. He's been a brilliant Celtic manager. He was unbelievable for the club. He leaves the club in a great condition. And, look, I would have loved him to stay for another 4, 5, 6 years, but as I said, I don't think there is a right time, and you maybe only get offered jobs like that once. So, I mean, good luck to him, and I hope he's successful.
Yeah, and I think, you know, just this week, whether Tottenham are buying a goalkeeper for £40 million, I think it just highlights the different playing field and the different world that they live in. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, it's honestly, like, not even... I mean, you're even looking at... I mean, I hate to say this, but you even look at Postecoglou's personal wealth with taking a job like that.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, it's kind of money that I'm sure he's not even accrued that money over his whole career to date. And yeah, he's probably going to go and make that money over the next year or two alone. So that is a tough side of it, you know what I mean? Because as much as he's been great at Celtic, you're only a bad 6 months at Celtic away from being out the door as well. That's just the industry, you know what I mean? So it's a tough one, and you know, like I say, we're just going to need to start kind of looking at successful managers not being at Celtic very long and taking that as a compliment. If you're successful at Celtic, you only last 2 to 3 years and then you move on. And as much as that's not a nice way to look at it, it's probably something that we need to just start saying that as a kind of sign of the times now, you know?
Yeah, I mean, that's something we've been talking about a lot this week about, you know, that cycle of, you know, 2 to 3 years. I think that's probably the kind of sweet spot, I guess. Do you think the club will be looking at that thinking, you know, with... I imagine the club would have tried their best to keep Postecoglou and would have been a little bit shocked by it, like we all kind of were. But do you think they'll look at it and think, okay, we need to kind of reconfigure? Or will it be a case of you sign a contract and we assume you're going to stay there for that time?
It's hard because I don't think the managers are stupid either. Do you know what I mean? So I think managers obviously have agents and stuff like that are going into jobs thinking, God, if we're successful here over 2 years, we'll get a move.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So it's one thing what the club want, and it's a completely different thing what the, you know, what the manager wants and what the individual wants. I think that Celtic have, was it Brendan Rodgers that was the last manager that kind of got a 3-year contract? I think everybody else was on like 12-month rolling contracts.
Yeah.
So the way kind of Celtic have looked to do business is it looks as if it's these 12-month rolling contracts, which is great if they're not successful because it doesn't cost as much money to get rid of them. But then it's a kick in the teeth as well when situations like this come because, you know, a club like Tottenham see it as it's not going to cost us a lot of money to get them out of there.
Yeah.
You know, so rock in a hard place, but I think that I see benefits on both sides. If Postecoglou came in and Celtic announced that he was on a 5-year contract, I think people would have hyperventilated. We knew nothing about him. He's came in, he's got this mammoth contract, so we pretty much all know he's going to be there, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
With that hindsight now, it would have been like, God, that was a brilliant piece of business.
Yeah,
you know. It's a tough one, mate. It's a real tough one, I think.
Just before we kind of talk about the current manager search, John Kennedy potentially moving on. Guy's been an absolute constant, very highly rated. Do you think that he'll be maybe disappointed that he wasn't in the search, his name being kind of linked with the job? Because, you know, we've got a lot of different subscribers and there was a lot of people messaging us saying, give John Kennedy the opportunity, give him the time. Be a real shame to see him leave, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it would. I've met John Kennedy a handful of times. I was lucky enough to meet him a handful of times when I worked at Celtic. You know, he's a really, really good guy. To be honest with you, I'd never really seen him on the pitch. But the people that I know that were being around John Kennedy and did see him work every day have always maintained that he's world class, which you would expect because John Kennedy's exposure within his coaching career has been world class coaches. So there's no doubt that if you take little nuggets off of all of those brilliant managers, the chances are you're going to be very, very good yourself, which John is. Would you be disappointed I think so, yeah. And the reason why I think so is because, you know, I look at that list of candidates and you see guys like, is it Enzo Maresca?
Maresca,
like
yeah, yeah.
Maresca, so, you know, people kind of look at him and he's assistant to Guardiola. And to be honest with you, if that guy wasn't in the City group and wasn't the assistant to Guardiola, I don't think he'd be anywhere near that list of candidates. But because he is in that position, and by the way, I'm sure that guy also is world class. I'm not saying that that guy's been right. He's obviously world class as well. We're working at that level. But my point is that if you're going to take somebody whose background is basically being an assistant manager, surely you take John Kennedy, who has worked with all these managers, knows the club inside out, you know, arguably is far less risk than what Enzo Maresca is. So I would say that there would be a little bit of disappointment. But maybe as well, Chris, John Kennedy's in a position where he is happy. Maybe he is happy being an assistant manager.
Yeah.
You know, maybe he's kind of at that, you know, I think in coaching, people always kind of assume that people want to work as managers, whereas I think there's really good first team coaches. I think there's really good assistant managers that know that that's their niche.
Yeah.
I don't know that for sure, but, you know, maybe John Kennedy's looking at it thinking, do you know what? Assistant manager, I'm able to kind of go work with Ange Postecoglou at a huge club, enhance my own kind of knowledge of the game, working within a top league in Europe. So maybe, you know, maybe there is a side to it where John doesn't want it. You know, I'm not too sure, who knows, but I'm just saying it might be, you know, it might be a case of that, just a kind of perfect storm of things that have happened, you know. But for me, I've got to say that if you're going to give it to Maresca, I don't understand why you wouldn't give it to a guy like John Kennedy. I don't understand why he wouldn't be in that same conversation.
Yeah, absolutely. The manager search itself, you know, there's names certainly been linked. Brendan Rodgers is the one that seems to be hot on everyone's kind of lips. What's your thoughts on, do you think the club is right to go for Brendan Rodgers? What's your thoughts on him as a manager? Let's hear it.
There's been a fair bit of fallout on my mate's WhatsApp group chat about this. I'll no name names, but some of them have shocked me, Chris. I think that if you're taking emotion out of it, I think Brendan Rodgers is the best candidate. And I know that it's Celtic, and I know that we don't take emotion out of it, which is why it's kind of the story that it is. If Brendan Rodgers got the job tomorrow, Celtic being the club that it is, the fans would support him.
Yeah.
The fans would support him regardless. They would get over it and they would support him, and that would be that. Just now it's divisive because people have rightfully strong opinions on how he left and what they thought about that, which is absolutely fine. But I think if you're looking at that list of candidates, that there's nobody better on that list than Brendan Rodgers. He is a multiple treble winning manager himself. Different brand of football,
yeah.
Different brand, much more possession based. And, you know, Postecoglou's team, you know, was really, really kind of breakneck speeds for 90 minutes, you know. So it would be interesting to see how, walking into that group of players, you would change that style and that mindset. But I've got to say, Chris, I personally wouldn't have a problem with Brendan Rodgers coming back because he is a world-class coach. the other guys on the list are all brilliant, I'm sure. But I think they all come with a bigger element of risk.
Yeah.
And I get why Celtic fans are of the opinion that he shouldn't get a second chance because of the way he left. But that being said, I think that the way he left happened, I think since he was in England, he always spoke fondly about Celtic. He always spoke fondly about his time there. And I think that if he did come back and he was successful, I think in 6 months' time, Chris, nobody really cares because he's on top of the league and he's won a few games in the Champions League, and you're telling me that happened, I don't think Celtic fans would care what the situation was.
Do you think obviously we've got a group of players there, a lot of them were brought in by Ange Postecoglou. Do you think that with them looking at someone like Brendan Rodgers, a lot of them obviously would be very keen to have him as manager compared to maybe a manager like a Farioli, an Araiola or a Maresca? When a name like Brendan Rodgers, no matter what you think of him as a man or a coach, he's got that reputation, and that's something that those players would be completely engaged with. Whereas maybe some of the other guys, they would need to be convinced.
Yeah, I think that if you have a body of work, yeah, as a manager, you have less to kind of prove to players. Do you know what I mean? So, for instance, if Ancelotti comes to your club, Ancelotti doesn't have to prove anything because he's done everything there is to do in the game. So any player automatically kind of has that respect for them.
Yeah.
Whereas some managers that kind of come in without that background or prestige maybe have to earn that a little bit, and the players are kind of analysing everything themselves. You know what I mean? Whereas, why are we doing this? And, you know, I'm sure there's a bit of that. I think to your point, 100%, I think Brendan Rodgers is a guy that's been there. He is able to kind of go in to a team that's won a treble and maybe worried about what the future's going to look like with a new guy coming in. And you're pretty much able to settle that right away, aren't you? Because you're able to come in and say, guys, I've won 2 trebles at this club, one of them being an invincible treble. So I know, you know, what we're coming up against, what the noise is going to be like from the media, what it's like when we lose a game. And that is kind of invaluable, that I think at clubs like Celtic, because it's like nowhere else in the world. You know yourself, Chris, if you lose a game at Celtic, it's a week. That is a week of the world's ending. You know what I mean? And I think a guy, you know, coming in from Holland or whatever might be a bit like, what is going on here?
Yeah.
You know, so I think so, mate. I think so. I think his body of work, his reputation, I think that he would be respected immediately.
You mentioned his style of play, and obviously Postecoglou had a very specific style of play, and Rodgers has a very specific style of play. Do you think that Brendan Rodgers will be a different manager if he is appointed? Do you think he might look at that team of players and go, okay, maybe we'll mix it up a little bit, maybe we'll change it, or do you think he'll just stick to what his kind of principles are?
No, I think guys like that always stick to their principles. I think guys like that always stick. So I think, like, the world-class people like Brendan Rodgers and stuff like that will have very, very deep beliefs in the way that football should be played, in the characteristics of what they want out of their players, and the behaviours that they want from their team.
Yeah.
You know, I'm sure that Brendan Rodgers will have an absolute ton of kind of like, you know, key performance indicators for the team, for the individuals. And, you know, I'm sure that that's all driven heavily by his staff, be it the sports science staff or whatever the case may be. I think the difficulty will probably be, you know, Ange Postecoglou's team was so athletic.
Yeah.
Whereas Brendan's teams need a little bit more on the ball. You know, so for instance, I'm looking at it like, you know, Postecoglou, inverted fullback, that's all we heard. Inverted fullback, and you know, some guys can't do it and this and that. Whereas Rodgers' teams were more, it was the wide player that kind of tucked in. Yeah. It still created superior numbers in the middle of the pitch, but it allowed guys like kind of Kieran Tierney to go and bomb on and
overlapping. Yeah.
I think that I look at guys like Maeda and I think, how's Maeda going to fit into like a Brendan Rodgers team, you know what I mean? Because as much as he's an unbelievable athlete and he offers so much in that part of the game, I do look at it and think, do you know what? I can't imagine him tucking into a kind of box midfield and taking the ball in tight areas. Do you know what I mean? So yeah. Not to say that he couldn't do it, by the way. Maybe he could. And I'm doing a complete disservice. I'm no here slaying Maeda at all. I think he's a terrific player. But I'm just saying the styles are different, and therefore some of the personnel that are there, you know, we might need to look at and think, do we cash in on those guys, you know, because it's a completely different style. But I think to your point, Chris, to your original question, I wouldn't expect a completely wholesale different Brendan Rodgers team. They're going to have the same behaviours as what they did the first time.
Yeah.
It's just that, do we give him enough money to get players that are 10% better than what he had the first time, you know?
That's the million-dollar question, I think. A few other questions for you, but do you think he'll be the next Celtic manager? What's your kind of, obviously we, none of us really know at this point, but what's your gut say?
Honestly, Chris, again, we spoke about it earlier, like rumours just kind of not going away.
Yeah.
I think that if there wasn't legs to that, it would have been shut down by now. So I think for sure there's an element of truth. Will he take it? I don't know. I don't know. I think that he's probably going through the same kind of thing just now of, do I go back to Scotland? If I do go back to Scotland, I've already won two trebles. What am I really going back for?
Yeah.
What does that look like? So I'm not too sure about whether he would take it, but I am sure that by looking at kind of the media and the rumours and all that kind of stuff, I'm sure that there's truth to it. I think that if he wasn't to take it, I would probably hazard a guess that it's down to maybe a 2 or 3 person list, that he's the first choice. There's maybe things that he's trying to hash out with Celtic, but I'm sure Celtic will have a plan B, if you like, for the situation that he doesn't. But I think he would be first choice, mate. I think he would be first choice, and I think that if the bookies stop taking bets, they normally know something we don't they?
Yeah, absolutely. Just a couple more points for you. See, with being the Celtic manager, right, for you, obviously for every fan has a different perspective. It's quite interesting that we put out a question on Twitter about, you know, if Rodgers does come back, you know, just kind of a few different points. And the thing that people kept coming back was trophies. He wins trophies, and that's the most important thing. How important for you as a fan, and I think, as I say, we'll all have different points on this, but how is it important that Celtic not only win, but win playing good football? Because that's not necessarily something that everyone cares about. Some people genuinely just care about Celtic winning, which, by the way, I completely understand. But for you, how important is it that they play good football?
Yeah, I think that there's definitely something sweeter about winning and winning in a certain way. I think that with Celtic, ultimately you'll be judged on trophies, because if you're a Celtic manager that doesn't win trophies, you're not going to be there for very long. I think there's certain managers, I think my dad was maybe one of them, that wasn't a particularly successful Celtic manager in terms of trophies, but I think he came at a time where we were in such a dark period as a club that we won a Scottish Cup. We were able to put some flair players on the pitch, and all of a sudden it became a kind of product to watch, you know. I think that, you know, you kind of fast forward now. We've had so many successful teams and successful managers. Martin O'Neill's team was hugely successful. Were they an unbelievable watch?
They won.
They won. Aye, exactly. And yeah. That's what I'm saying. Like, ultimately, you're there to win. You know, you're there to win. And if you win a treble, I don't think the guys that are in the Brazen Head after the game are sitting talking about, you know, we won 2-0 and we sealed the treble, but we were meant. You know what I mean? I think people enjoy success because we've become accustomed to it. So we want success and we want it now. I think at other clubs, I think Ange will do well at Spurs because I think he'll go in and he'll put a product on the pitch where the fans are like, this is much better to watch. Yeah. Will he win a trophy? Probably. I mean, the likelihood is probably no, just based on history. But Celtic's a different breed. And I think that if you're no winning trophies, you're not going to be in that job for long.
Yeah, I mean, just talking about your dad, you know, I'm 41 in a couple of weeks, but, you know, when we were growing up, like, Celtic were offering absolutely nothing, and then your dad came in and just created this team, and it was just, I still think it's one of the most entertaining teams I've ever seen us play. There's lots of reasons why we weren't ultimately successful in regards to trophies, but I always think about those teams with as much fondness as I do the kind of Seville teams and, you know, even the Ange teams and stuff. But to me, just creating something from nothing, I think, is probably one of the hardest things to do in football. And your dad did that with an absolute aplomb. Just kind of finishing up, obviously, you being Tommy Burns' son, do you think people understand the pressure that comes around managing Celtic? Do they actually see the real life pressure? Do you think that's something that people think about?
No, but I think what the thing is like, there's an attitude towards, I think, people that are involved in football that's like, well, they get paid well for it, so they should, you know what I mean?
Which
I think people that are in football would agree with that, you know what I mean? Like, I think they're paid well, and I think they understand pressure as part of the job. I think what they maybe don't get is that, particularly for guys that are Celtic supporters that work at Celtic, I think you become too emotional about it. You know what I mean? Like, you almost want it too much.
Yeah.
And desperation can come in where you're just willing to do anything to get the team successful and get the team winning. I think the job is a very lonely job. Despite all those hundreds of thousands of fans all over the world, I think that when things aren't going right, there's no many people you can turn to that would have sympathy for you or understanding for you.
Yeah.
So I think the pressure in the Celtic job is something that only people that have had that job could describe in terms of what it's like. I think for us fans, we don't really care what the pressure's like on people as long as they're delivering.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So we don't care how many sleepless nights you have as long as we beat Hearts on a Saturday or Rangers in the Cup final or whatever the case may be. Do you know what I mean? It's totally driven by success. I think that with stuff like that, that's why Postecoglou was so good. Because I think Postecoglou, even though I'm sure there was moments where Postecoglou felt pressure, I think if you're talking about like the perfect demeanour of a Celtic manager, it was him.
Yeah.
Because even if Celtic had a poor result, as soon as Postecoglou spoke, I felt totally at ease with whatever he said. It was crazy. Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'd never let him talk to my bird. But it was one of those ones where you're totally in a situation where as soon as he spoke, okay, I've got faith that it's going to be fine. This was a bad day, whatever the case may be. And other managers maybe have a little bit more emotion when they come out and they speak and you're like, do you know what I mean? That's almost, that's, I feel worse now.
Yeah.
So, yeah, the pressure piece, Chris, is a difficult one. The closest I was to it was my dad. But what I would say is, I can't even really draw from that experience because I thought he done an unbelievable job at leaving his kind of work at the door. You know, so
that's amazing.
I never really felt as if, like, when he came home, he was a stress case or whatever the case may be. But I do know, you know, I do know it would have been killing him if things weren't going right. And I do know that if anybody was desperate for Celtic to win or have success, it would have been him, you know. So I think that it's a really interesting one. And I think that, you know, with the next manager, that's why I think experience is a big thing, because I think there's guys that can deal with that and there's guys that can't. And if you know there's a guy that can, then get him in, because it might save us a lot of trouble in the back end.
Absolutely fantastic. Jonathan Burns, thank you very much, sir. We really appreciate your time.
Top man, Chris. Thanks very much, mate.